Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Oh, sing it to Him. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent. Oh, yes, Lord. Stand to our feet. Sing with all your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Thank you, Lord. Say your name.
Mighty army of the Lord. Amen. Greetings, soldiers of the cross. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
somebody
Lord.
Say, praise the Lord.
Praise
now give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him today. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Oh, sing it to Him. Thou art welcome in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Thou art welcome in this place. And He truly is welcome here today. Matter of fact, if He don't come, let's just leave right now. Because He'll just be a gathering of folks. But I'm glad He's in our midst. I'm glad we had a tremendous time here last night. Brother Robert, just part-time Christian, full-time devil. Well, that was a good message, wasn't it? Brother Robert, God bless you. You done a good job last night. And I don't believe... I I don't believe I ever experienced a better communion service than last night. It just, hearing some of the comments from the service last night, a lot of people just got a touch from the Lord, and that's precious, isn't it? I believe there's healing in communion service. I believe there's grace, there's healing, there's forgiveness. Whatever you have need of from the Lord, He's here to give it to you, church. If we leave today because we have a need, and we leave with that need, we miss the mark somewhere. We turn it into a 10-cent service instead of a silver dollar service. Because God's got a silver dollar service for you every time that you show up. How many of you want to be able to receive it with all your heart? Now turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them welcome to this service, great soldier of the cross. Play it, Brother Harry. Let's sing it one more time. Give him another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see all of you in service this morning. We got some folks that come back home. Been away for a while. They've come back home. Brother Ronnie and Sister Tita Cobb. Bless their heart. We're just glad to have. Brother Ronnie, won't you get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning? Let's give him a nice hand. God bless him. Praise the Lord. Sister Gerald sends this in for her brother Fred Teaster. He's having surgery this week, and he's asking that we would remember him in prayer during this surgery. Let's just commit him to the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Timothy Pruitt. He's down in his back and in a lot of pain. Let's remember that need this morning. Also, greetings from Brother Harold Beckett and congregation, and Brother Alray Robertson and congregation from South Africa. They wanted to greet Brother Donnie and all the saints here at Happy Valley. So let's say God bless them back to them. Amen. Say it real loud. God bless them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for traveling mercies for my aunt Nilda James flying to Puerto Rico to see family. So let's remember that prayer request. Sister Maria Sponsia sends that in. An unspoken prayer request. Brother Wade Allen sends in this morning. A very special unspoken request for Brother Fred Green. Let's remember that need this morning. Let me just make this announcement while we're... I wondered why I couldn't see, and now I know. Let's look at this announcement. This is from the... having to do with our website. Attention, everyone who uses the website, it is going to change. Depending on where you live in the world, you may not see be able to pick the website up until Wednesday. The music page will be up in a week or so. Play and Archives is improved and will work on making more mobile devices available for that. Important, please do not place an order until you see the new website. Downloading of sermon audio files is on its way. So there's some changes. Don't think you've lost the website. There's just going to be some changes made, and it'll be available for you. And just remember that this coming week as you try to stream or pick up the website. We're glad to see this guy right here. Amen. Good. Welcome home, buddy. God bless you. Welcome home.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see all of you. Hi. God bless you. And I think one of the greatest privileges in the world that we could ever have is to be a servant of the Lord, don't you? And I think being a servant of the Lord affords us the greatest opportunity that we would ever have on earth. And with the greatest opportunity, I think it gives us the greatest experiences in life. And with the greatest experiences, I think we get the greatest rewards that we can possibly get out of life. So it's just good to be a servant. And I believe that we should serve the Lord with all our heart, all our strength, and all our might, all the time. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful, Lord, to be able to call you our Father. We realize, Lord, that there's something beyond ourselves that has placed us here, that there's been a divine calling from eternity into our souls, Lord, that's quickened something of you within us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray here today that with the preaching of the word, Lord, that little something that's been quickened and brought to life will grow and flourish in the presence of the Lord. I pray that you'll meet the needs that's been mentioned here today, Lord, each and every one of them, and even those that have not been mentioned but that are needs. God, I pray that you'll meet every need. May there not be a feeble person among us when we leave here today. Grant it, Heavenly Father, bless the word and bless our fellowship together. We invite your presence, Lord, and we pray that all sin could be put under the blood, everything that's not that would hinder this service, Lord. We pray that it would not hinder. May the Holy Spirit have the preeminence as we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. We wore it out, but it's still a good song, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you this morning. If you'll sing it with all your heart, participate. Let's sing, I Bless Your Name. I can't think of another name to bless than his. Is that right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah.
In prisoner's chains.
Play the song, buddy.
With bleeding stripes. Fall inside.
Singing that church. I bless your name.
this verse now.
Midnight hour, if you should find your
just before we have our specials. Brother Jose's going to come and give us a song. If you come onto the platform, be getting ready. Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, Brother Harry has us a song. If they'll come onto the platform, be getting ready. Let's sing this little chorus just before we have our specials this morning. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that with all your heart? What does the rest of you believe? Do you believe it with everything you've got? There's still power in the name of Jesus. Give him one more hand clap of praise. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain. There's a bride, there's a bride rising up. Oh, sing it.
There's a bride rising up.
Break every chain, break every chain.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother Jose, God bless you as you sing for us today.
God bless each one of you.
God bless you.
I want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'm going to sing a special. Most of you know this song, When He Spoke. Amen. You're free to join me. Start the soundtrack. When He Spoke. Track number 2.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just a simple man they knew from Galilee. Son of a carpenter who lived right down the road. They all thought they knew what he would be. He would work with wood to build a home, maybe raise a family. But surely there'll be no great destiny. But no one knew the secrets hidden in the mother's heart. His appearance gave no hint to what they see.
Oh, yeah.
when he spoke, all of heaven just stood still, and the earth began to tremble beneath the Father's will. When he spoke, the heart of man began to change. Heaven fell like rain when he spoke. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He never wore a princely robe or walked in royalty. His friends were common men like you and me. He spoke of a father with a kingdom and a throne. One he said no earthly eyes can see. They were all amazed this carpenter could perform such mighty deeds and still walk in such great humility. No one knew the secrets from his father up above. They could not understand his kind of love. When he spoke, all of heaven just stood still, and the earth began to tremble beneath the Father's will. When he spoke, the heart of man began to change. Heaven fell like rain. Heaven fell like rain. Heaven fell like rain. When my Jesus spoke. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Heaven fell like rain. Amen. When he spoke.
One final breath he gave as his heaven moved away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, His perfect love could not
bless you. Let's stand this morning. We had a prayer request come in late this morning from, this is from South Africa. I want to pray for a brother, Peter DeWall. He's from South Africa. A couple of weeks ago, he fell off his bicycle. He's been unconscious ever since. He's a young man. He and his wife, they're expecting a child. She is very depressed. She's the daughter of brother Pastor Hannes, who is very sick and in hospice care also. So we certainly We certainly want to pray for that need this morning. But we can rest one thing for sure. This need, along with all of our requests this morning and all the needs that we'll ever have, He has got it all in control. Do you believe that? Do you believe He's worried this morning? He ain't worried any. Not at all. Let's sing that little chorus as our pastor comes to bring us the word of the Lord. We appreciate our pastor, don't we? Amen. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. I'm sure it's in His plan. Amen. I put my life. Better place to put it in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you today. Certainly happy to be together today in the presence of God. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. How many wants to be a full-time Christian? Amen. We heard about that last night, then we praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In the evil day.
Amen.
Having done all to stand. Then Paul goes on the next verse, stand therefore. May God help us in this time that we can do that. We're going to pray. How many has a need or request on your heart before the Lord today? Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Remember this request also that Brother Louis mentioned. Lord Jesus, we are so, so happy to be together in your presence again today, Lord. We thank you, dear God. The church is not a tradition to us. It's a part of who we are. And really, when this life is over, Lord, there'll be no more automobile mechanics, no painters. There'll be nobody working the ER because there won't be no hospitals. There'll be nobody working Social Security. So a lot of the jobs that we do here in this life, they'll never be in the new world. There'll be no pastors counseling anybody because nobody will have any issues, no problems. We won't be preaching no services as far as preaching and correcting things. So it will be an eternity filled with praise and adoration and songs and life the way it was intended to be. How we long for that day, Lord Jesus. To live in a world that there's no crying babies, no hunger, no pain, no sorrow. But Lord, until we reach that time, we certainly need your help. Father, that we can be faithful while we're here in these dark days. Lord Jesus, we bring before you the hands, these people, the request was represented there as they raised their hand to you, a sickness, a need, a desire, a financial need, whatever it was. Lord, we ask you for this brother in South Africa. Dear God, you see this thing that's happened to him. Father, may the angel of God move right down where our brother is today. Dear Jesus, may you move for him, Lord. Father, as I hold in my hand this prayer cloth, dear God, going to this young man up in Virginia, You see these needs in his body, his lungs, and these various things, Lord. I'll preach with it today under the anointing, and I pray that your presence would just go with him, meet the needs of this young man. Fathers, we stand before your children now with the awesome responsibility to try to preach the word. And I realize if there's anything of eternal value that'll be accomplished out of this service today, it'll have to be you that does it. Lord Jesus, I've been preaching since I was just 18 years old, and 39 years of my life I've given to preaching. But Lord, I think I get more scared now than when I was a young preacher, because I realize how serious it is. Help me, Lord. Watch over me. Watch over my mouth so I don't say anything wrong. Help me, Lord, that I can speak the words of life. Grant it, dear God, anoint us, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again today on this present evil age. Let's look back at verse 15 here in Ephesians chapter 5. We know the Ephesian church was probably the deepest church with the greatest amount of spiritual understanding in the New Testament era. Paul was able to write and tell them things that he wasn't able to tell other churches. But yet, it seemed that the Ephesian church, though they had understanding of great deep things, that they missed some very simple things. Husbands loving their wives, wives obeying their husbands, and different things like that. And when you look at Paul, the direction that he was led of the Spirit of God, we believe to go even in this verse here, it shows that there was an element of something that they were missing. Now, you know, myself, I desire to be a balanced Christian. I want depth, but I want simplicity. I want to be able to walk where angels walk, but what good does that do if I can't walk where you walk? So I desire to be able to straddle, if you understand where I'm coming from, I want to straddle the breach of mortality and immortality. I want to be able to walk the fine line between that which is phenomenal, that which is supernatural, that which is unexplainable, and yet at the same time to be able to walk in the realm and to be able to hear the cries of a crying child or a child that understands very little. Ain't that where you want to walk? I do not desire to walk just where angels walk. What benefit would that be to you as a pastor? If I live in a realm where you can't even understand what I'm saying or relate to anything that I mean. So here we see the same thing in Paul. No doubt there was many things that he could have told them that he heard and things that he was not even allowed to be uttered. But yet he was the kind of man that could preach things that was so, that would be profound, spellbinding, that would just hold you there where you was mesmerized by the things that he would say. But he was not the type of man that he so wanted to be, the people to be so impressed with his deep speaking and his words that he would leave out the everyday average life sort of guy. That's the kind of preacher I want to be. Now watch this. So Paul says then, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now look at this word walk. It means to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, to pass one's life. Now notice what he's writing now to this great, deep, wonderful church, that they would need to not only understand the deep things of God, the wonderful things of God, but they needed to understand an everyday walk with God. So then you walk circumspectly. Now look at this word circumspectly, because it's a word that we don't use that often in the English language, but it is. Our word circumspect is from the Latin word circumspico, which signifies to look around about on all hands, to be every way watchful, wary, and cautious in order to avoid danger. Now here he's not only speaking to them about predestination and election and foreknowledge and the great deep mysteries of God. It's here, remember, that he talks about in chapter 5, the mystery of the bride and Christ, and how that there's the relationship is not that of a servant and son relationship, but it's actually of a bridegroom and a bride.
But at the same time, he comes right back and reminds them that they've got to work circumspectly. And this is the way that you walk that way. You don't walk with your head plumb up like this and you're so angled toward the heavens that you never notice what's going around you. But you're walking, and this is the hard part, you're walking with a split or a diverted vision, how that your vision is constantly toward heaven, but you're not so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. So you're looking at your goal and everything that you have before you is the Lord Jesus, but you're watching very carefully of the things that are around you. Now, this is a lie, friends, and I'm afraid many folks, this is where folks get mad at the preacher. Brother Robert mentioned to us last night that people don't like this type of instruction, that they don't want to be warned about what to watch around them because they have such confidence in themselves. If God had the amount of confidence in our flesh that we have in our flesh, He'd never give us preachers. He'd never make you like to sheep. He would make you like whatever it is you think you are. But God likened us to sheep because we need to be led by a shepherd. You see, if God would have placed the amount of confidence in our flesh, and even in your walk with God after you get the Holy Ghost, that you never need a shepherd, it would be unbecoming of Him to put you all under the leadership of a shepherd and even under the leadership of a prophet of God, because every one of us would be on the same plane. Well, we wouldn't need Brother Branham no more. We'd make our own tapes and write our own books because we'd all have the same profound understanding. But God does not place us that way, but God places us, and then He gives these men that are inspired by the Spirit of God. Now look what Paul says, the word there that he uses. Let's look at it again. It signifies to look round about on all hands. Now this was written 2,000 years ago. And Paul would warn them to look about. There was no internet. There was no pornography in the sense of way we know it today. There was all of these, Facebook was not even heard of, thank God. Many of the things that we have today, they never even had then. But can you imagine what they were warned about then? If Paul was to come to Happy Valley this morning and be able to get up and preach to us, I wonder how he would preach and warn. I'll tell you what, Paul, some of the same things he would say. He would tell you the same things the anointed men of God are saying to you now. Because it's not them anointed men of God's opinion, it's the Word of God. And it's something to warn you so that you don't become entangled with the things that are around you. Do we want to walk deep? We do. Do we want to walk in a profound way with God? We do. But we also want to walk circumspectly in that we watch everything that is around us. Why? So we do not become ensnared of the devil. So then you walk circumspectly, not as fools. You mean some Christians can walk as fools? They're some of the biggest fools you'll ever meet. That's what makes it so sad. Now, if people are not converted and they are fools, that's just kind of typical. But when you got folks that claim to be Christians walking in the light of the day, and yet here what Paul would address people, not even writing to the people down the bars, but he's actually writing this to a message church, the deepest message church that there was in the era, and yet this would come out of his mouth for message people not to walk as fools. Apparently the potential to be fools was still around. Well, I won't embarrass you, but I'll say this old boy right here has been a big fool at times. And I wasn't made a fool by you. I wasn't made a fool by other people. I made a fool out of myself. Well, I think I'll go ahead and venture and say it, and every one of you all have too. You might as well be honest. You made a fool out of yourself by your attitude or your words or whatever more. But aren't you glad when we make fools out of ourselves that God don't look at you and say, because you made a fool out of yourself, that means you're a foolish virgin. Oh, no. Just because I make a fool out of myself don't mean I'm foolish virgin. But because I'm wise virgin, I'll straighten out my foolish ways and pray, God, help me that I don't do that again. Amen. Now, he wants them to be able to discern their enemies. Now, remember the power of darkness with the releasing of the blood cell of the Lord Jesus on Calvary. Satan knows now that he must study his tactics different. No doubt it took him a little while to be able to understand what was going on. And he's never a creator. Satan is not, but he's an impersonator. So he began to watch that early church and see what they were doing. Then when he saw the focus of God as it was relating to the body of God on the earth, then Satan began begin to figure out what God had in his mind. Now, God didn't say it all right out, but he began to watch as the body, the ministry, began to preach it, and the body began to counteract to what they were saying. Then Satan realized what God wanted was, he wanted a church. So then Satan decided, in order to counteract this church, initially, he sent the church under great persecution. He would raise people mainly from without, and they would begin to attack the church, and it worked on the element of fear. So that the people, if they were beaten, if they were threatened, and they called the apostle, don't you preach no more in the name of Jesus, don't you do this, don't do that no more, and them crazy guys, you know what they'd do? They'd let them out of prison, and by noon, they're standing down on the street corner preaching again. So Satan said, what in the world? What kind of guys are these? They was converted guys. Remember, it was the same one that had denied, oh glory, it was the same man that had denied Jesus, and no doubt the devil thought, all I've got to do is turn up a little bit of pressure on Peter and he'll run like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh no, the Holy Ghost got a hold of Peter. Hallelujah. How in the world could that same man who forsook the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane now be willing to stand up in the middle of the Sanhedrin and said, we've got to obey God and not obey you? Oh my, now I want you to look at this. Paul says, don't walk as fools, but walk wise. I love this verse 16. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. The word redeeming means to purchase, to buy up from the possession or power of anyone, then to redeem, to set free. As from service or bondage. Now, if they were to redeem their time, they didn't have yachts, they didn't have boats, they didn't have 24-hour shifts like we got, they didn't have all the time-consuming things that we have in Laodicea, what would he say to us in this day? So we are then to buy our time. We're to redeem our time, take it from the power of another. Well, who in the world would hold my time? Who is it would hold my time? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And it is the bondage of time that I preached to you years and years ago. And yet we still fight the same thing today. Except the problem of it is, it's worse now than when it was I preached bondage of time 10 to 15 years ago. And Satan is the one who is doing this. So what are we supposed to do? Are we never supposed to have time with our families? Are we never supposed to sit down, laugh, and enjoy going fishing or hunting or none of that? No. That's not what the Bible tells us. But we are to take our allocation of time that God has given to us and use that time well. Oh, I would to God that every preacher that stands behind a message pulpit would realize that. I was thinking about this morning how few time, really how few hours that message preachers really have. I was thinking of myself and others. And if I preach three times a week and I preach an hour, hour and 15 minutes per service, if I spend 3 hours, 3 hours and a half a week maybe preaching behind the pulpit, how little bit of time that would be, then that multiply that by 52 times and then multiply that by 39 years, how many ever years that I preached the sermons. And if I would take the span of my time in preaching and add up the amount of hours that I've actually preached, I would probably overwhelm how little it has really been. Then should not I, as a minister of the gospel and every other man, whenever I have this precious valuable in my allocation called time, should not I want to say the words that would be the most valuable? Would I rather take that time talking about me and talking about who I am and how great I am or this or that or the other? Or should not I take that time and talk about the Lord Jesus? Talk about his mercy and talk about you and the things. I wonder sometimes if preachers realize what God has given to us in our allocation of our hand. Every man, when he stands behind the pulpit, he has this thing of time. And your attention is only so long. And you'll only be with him for a certain amount of time. He can spend much of that time talking about this and that and the other. This is why I try to tell Brother Louis and the song leaders and those that get up and sing. Well, now, the more time we take in the preliminaries, the more words that are said, words of no value, words that mean nothing, words that have nothing to do with worship. All of those words are robbing. They're robbing and taking away from the ministry of the word. Which is the most important? A person wanting to get up and sing and taking a 15 minute through and taking 15 minutes away from the Word of God because you've only got so much attention span. And this person says something and that person says something and another person, everyone that does it, is taking your attention span away from the Word. Come on, don't get quiet on me, church. We're not here to impress one another by what we know or by what we say. We're here to be able to get down to business with God in order to receive from the presence of the Holy Ghost, in order to redeem our time. So we are to rescue, to recover our time from waste. One of these days, if you don't know it already, you're going to realize most of the severity of our judgment or our punishment or of our shortcomings is going to be we are thieves. Not thieves of money. Not thieves of stealing other men's words. But wasting our time. I'm talking about our life. I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about just wasting our time. Redeem the time, church. Redeem your time. When we come to the house of God, let's make every use of our time. Look, this is one of the shortest things you do. Think of it. We have church three times a week. And if we come in at 7 o'clock and we're out by 9 or so on the nights and then come in by 11 and we're out by 1 or whatever it is, 2 hours, 6 hours a week maybe we might spend in church. How many hours do you spend sleeping? How many hours do you spend fishing or spend doing this and the other? This is one of the least, and this is the most precious, the most sacred, the most life-changing time that we can spend in the house of God. Should not that time we lay aside our shopping when we're in the house of God? We lay aside going to Rome Mountain after church. Let's redeem our time. Let's make that time the value of our lives. We worship, we pray, we read the Word. We focus on that. Why? Because it's in my power. I want to steal my time from the devil. I want to steal my mind from the devil. I don't want him putting thoughts in my mind of what I'm going to do next week. I want to redeem my time and use it for the Word of God. Hallelujah! Time is given to us. You think of the richest person alive, but when they come down to die, what would they give if they could buy a month? Think of some of y'all's greatest regrets in life when your children grow up. You work so hard to buy them $100 pair of shoes and give them this and buy them that. Really, what are their greatest regrets or they wish they had more of? Your money or your time? I would to God I had more memories of spending time with my daddy doing this and that and the other. I have very few because daddy was always so busy. Always busy trying to work and make a living for 7 kids and do this and that. And what do I have of the vault of my memories to recall? Very little. Think of it, children. What do you give to your children? Oh, Brother Donnie, I buy them. I'm not talking about what you buy them. I'm talking about what you give it yourself. It's easier to give them a credit card, go buy this or that, but to take your time, make memories with your children. Make good memories with your wife. Not only that, make good memories with God. Amen. Get alone in your closet and pray and talk to Him and make memories with God that nothing can take away from you or from Him. Redeeming the time, and this is the reason why, Paul says, because the days are evil. My goodness, if Paul would have said that 2,000 years ago, what would that man think? If he could go with us after church today to Elizabeth and go up to Johnson City at the mall and then go home with Brother Robert, go through New York and go up to Philadelphia, what in the world would Paul think about it now? Y'all think I'm a nut and you think Brother Robert's a nut. Some of these other brothers that are preaching the way they do, they'd have Paul locked up in a week. Well, that man will be screaming and crying and running through the cities. He'd not be able to believe. Can you imagine Peter? If Peter stood up and said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Lord, that locked Peter up. He'd be thrown in Carter County Jail by this evening. Because they say, you mean you people live in this wicked day? You live in this sinful time? And we'd have to answer back, yes, Brother Peter, we do. And we overcome in this sinful time. We live in the most wicked age that's ever been. And by God's grace, we overcome. Mama. Let's skip down to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3, Brother Richard, skip a couple of those verses there to save time. This, actually, the time frame that we're in now, friends, has merged into Satan's age and also man's day. A time or an allotment of time which is allocated to be called man's day. Watch this in 1 Corinthians 4, 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Or of any man's judgment. Now the English version here is very, very, you know, it kind of takes away from the real meaning of the word. And you totally miss the whole concept of what Paul is saying. That I should be judge of you or any man's judgment. It seems as though that man was judging him. But if you look at the word hamartia that Paul used, he said man's day or time or the day. That I should be judge of you or of man's day. So it is an allotment of time by which man will be given this increment on which he will be crowned himself. That man will reach his crowning achievement since God brought him on the earth in the beginning. And it would actually be called man's judgment, as the English uses it, or the Greek man's day. So it is a time when man would be the one who would be the premier one on the earth. He would be self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-centered. He wouldn't even really need God to achieve and accomplish what he wanted in life. So it would be called man's day. Yet Paul says, yet I judge not mine own self. So then this is the day of the glorification of man. Now listen carefully so you don't miss this. The day in which the works of man are exalted through his knowledge. Not his dependence upon God. Not that he needs God for this and God for that and God for that. But man, if he needs water, what does man do? He figures out ways to make it. If man runs out of fresh water, then he figures out ways to go to the ocean and be able to run it through a certain process and take salt out of the water. If man needs to go from point A to point B faster than riding on old Bessie or in a cart, then what does man do? Man devises a way by which he can travel at 500 and something miles an hour in an airplane. So man then, he needs everything better, better. And when he does that, instead of turning and saying, thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to travel faster, as they say, look at what we did. Look at what we've done. So this is man's day. Now watch. Brother Bram says it this way whenever he refers to this about man saying God of this evil age. He said the day we're living is called in the Bible the day of man or man's day. This is not God's day. God is not the God of this earth. The Bible says that he isn't. He's the God of heaven, but this is not God's day. Boy, that always wrinkles folks' nose, doesn't it? But this is not God's day, but his day is coming. Watch. Brother Ram said, this is choosing day. Either live for today and die. Choose God and live, and God is the Word, and the Word is the Word made manifest out of this hour and this day. Now, what do you call it man's day for? He said you would say, it's the day. Now, listen to this, friend. To me, this is so profound. It's the day that the works by knowledge, the knowledge of man is glorified. So the works by the knowledge of man is glorified. And the world today is dedicating themselves, he said, to the knowledge which came by Satan. And man's day is glorified, not by the word of God, but by the knowledge that he has. Some man has all kinds of problems, and man just figures out a way to fix them all. Goes in the laboratory and mixes this with this and this, and man. So they come up with all kinds of medicines to take care of this, and you've got this certain issue, and the doctor gives you a prescription for that, and then there's a list this big of side effects. It helps a little twinge in your body, and then it gives you that. You think, forget it. Give me a pill of James 5. Give me a pill of Isaiah. By his stripes I'm healed. What's the side effects? Changed body. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. But man, by his knowledge, Oh my, we're this and we're that. We've done. Don't you see what it is? Satan, by projecting his image into man through knowledge, reaches throneship. Man, most of the population, over 6 billion people on the earth, will never worship Satan through witchcraft. They will worship Satan through self. Through their knowledge. Now, if a person can be smart and have a PhD and an LLD and a DDD and all the rest of MDs, man, if he can do it, I've raised my hand to him. I don't have to worry about that myself. Most of you don't, praise the Lord. But if they can be smart and still believe the word of God to me, it's a greater victory than it would be a dummy like me. Right? I don't have a lot of education. I didn't go through this and that and the other, so I just look at the word and say, amen. Praise the Lord, I believe it. But for an educated person to sit there and say, yes, sir, amen, glory to God, the words, I say, wow, that is a miracle. Because he's pulling that word, pulling that simplicity through the word of God, and inside his soul say yes when his intellect says that don't make no sense. Now watch this. This is the way Satan will bring the civilization to a complete annihilation. Watch, I love the way Brother Wim says this. His works are exalted above God's word and manifested works. The wisdom of Satan, which he gave to Eve at the beginning. Now listen, he says, don't miss this. The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man. Above the vindicated word of God for the hour. Now watch, the wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship. See where the throne of worship is? It's in man. This is how they will so easily worship the devil. By their own achievements. And they're looking for a throne over here, a throne over there. Well, that'll be soon enough. He'll sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. And those who are already worshiping from within themselves will be the ones that will worship him when he's in Jerusalem. But the ones who put him under their feet now will be the ones who won't be in Jerusalem. They're going to be in that Jerusalem. Why? Because they recognize their knowledge, their ability. That is nothing in the eyes of God. Listen to this, children, again. The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship. Who would have ever thought of putting wisdom on a throne? Who would have ever thought of even such a cunning plan that you would want to place wisdom on a throne? But this is one that man loves because he loves wisdom. Sensual, worldly, earthly wisdom. So then you exalt wisdom on the throne in man's heart and man will take it. Now, if it was some fire-breathing dragon, some demon, oh my, oh Lord, I don't want nothing to do with that. No, but it said, now you can be this and you can be that. You done really good in algebra. You'd be great in calculus. My, you can do this and you can be a PhD. Now you can sing really good, but you don't need that anointing. Here, you just lay all that aside. That's a holy roller. Call me what you want to be. I'd rather be a holy roller than an unholy setter. Come on. Sat around waiting for this, sat around waiting for that. Let me be a part of what God's doing. Not what he done, what he's doing. So Satan found a way, cunning, deceitful way, to take his wisdom and enthrone it. Make it Basilio King. This way it crosses every denominational barrier. This way even message people will take it. Then they will exalt their knowledge and their wisdom. I don't need no preacher. I know this. I know that. You're worshiping the devil. You have allowed Satan through his wisdom to exalt what you feel so confident in your own flesh. And you're exalting that throne to be worshiped in you. Maybe I should let Brother Albert preach again this morning. The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man. above the vindicated word for the hour. Don't you see all these websites are turning us a message against the prophet, against you? All these forums, all this Facebook stuff. Don't you see what it is? It is Satan's wisdom looking for human instrumentality that used to sit among us. And he projects that wisdom in a ball. We've got them tied up. They can't even answer us. It's not that. We just don't want to dirty our hands. What good would it do to answer them anyway? You know, I never did like fooling the garbage myself. The more you handle it, the more you smell like it and all that sort of thing. And I sure don't want to eat it. I sure ain't going to feed on it. If y'all want to feed on that trash, go ahead. I've got this good word right here that I'm going to feed on. Carol asked me the other day, said, have you looked at any of this stuff that's going on? I said, no. I said, no, I ain't looked at it really in months and months and months. And she said, well, that's good. I said, yeah, I figure I'd be better off to study the original instead of studying the counterfeit. Why would I want to spend all my time studying the counterfeit when I've got hungry sheep that come to church and they want to be fed? Right? Why should I get up here and preach about the counterfeit all the time? All we're going through, all the troubles we're having. Sure, we're having troubles. Thank God for the trouble. But I'm going to feed you a diet that'll give you the energy from the Holy Ghost that'll help you to have strength to face every challenge of hell. Now watch this. He said our church is proved by their seminary schools of learning that they've learned more than God's word knows about it. And they think that Dr. So-and-so and teacher so-and-so and professor so-and-so, and they exalted their own knowledge, so-called from Satan, truth, above the vindicated promise of God made clear right before them, and man fall for it. His scientific achievements trying to prove God's word wrong. He said, just think of it. That man's theology explains God's word to the people and makes it of no effect. How can you all follow this message? When Brother Branham told this story here and he told this, told it there and told it there, and all three times he told it different. I guess I missed your point. Because in our reading the Bible about Paul's experience with the pillar of fire, it was also told 1, 2, 3 times, and all three times it was told different. But it's as if though that Brother Branham's telling these stories and they're evolving as they go. Yeah, they did. There's no question about that they did. Just like David, whenever the Lord told David that he was going to have a son, but the Lord never told David what his name was. But it's amazing when you go to reading in the scripture after he finds out his son is born and what his name is called, that the Bible includes his name and makes it sound as if though it was in the original prophecy. Duh. That's what wisdom does for you. But faith just says, amen. Glory to God. A little old simple housewife that don't know Greek and don't know Aramaic and don't know Latin, she can sit there, her heart just pulsating with the word of God. And somebody full of Satan's wisdom, I can't believe this, I can't believe that, of course not. They done got a throne set up in their heart. And who's ruling on that throne? Wisdom. Satan's wisdom. I don't want Satan's wisdom. I want the Holy Ghost to be on the throne of my heart. So what's he do? He makes it of no effect. Well, there's no scientific proof, Brother Donnie, that 16 people fell off the bridge. I understand that. There's no scientific proof of this and that and the other. I understand that. I understand there was no archaeological proof, no historical proof Pontius Pilate ever lived. Until 1991. Whenever they found a bunch of rocks up there and they found his name on it. Now you imagine them people who spent all of their life trying to prove the Bible wasn't true because it didn't have a rock with Pontius Pilate's name on it. They spent their life in vain. So Satan exalted his wisdom in the throne of that individual, of that theologian or that archaeologist, whoever it was. Come on, children. He exalted his throne of worship and he looked down on us Christians because we believe the Bible account. We sure do. I don't need a rock. I've got a rock. Amen. I don't need a rock with Pontius Pilate's name on it. I don't need a rock with Paul's name on it. I'm more concerned about that white stone with my name on it. That's the one I want to know about. I want to be a part of this word. Watch this in the Patmos vision. This is man's day. It is man's doing, man's work, man's church, man's idea of worship, man's everything. For it is man's world, cosmos. But the day of the Lord is coming. Now we know that Satan is the founder of the gospel of progress. Right. He preached in the Garden of Eden to Eve. It is not like my God to depart knowledge to unconverted man of being able to take atoms and split them. So much hydrogen, so much oxygen, all of these different things. It is not like my God to let man figure out a way to make an atomic bomb so man that would in turn annihilate one another. But yet there had to be a supernatural source that understood the dividing of atoms. Since man was not there when God first spoke and said, let there be, and that divided the first atom. And when it spoke, it released all this energy in the cosmos, which is still going to this day. So man wasn't there, woman wasn't there, scientist wasn't there, but God was there and the devil was there. So Satan, through his understanding of metallurgical things, out of science, out of the building together of composite things, and then what does he do? He gives man these inventions that destroys himself. He gives man the weapons of mass destruction. Is this true? He gives man the ability of stealth, how to fly this and do that. Where does all this come from? You think God does it? Of course not. Where does it come from? The enemy himself. He loves to destroy his people. He loves. They give their lives to him. They live for him. They talk like him. They live like him. And what does he give them back for reward? Hell. Now, so a supernatural being give to scientists the ability to mix this with this and this with that. And there'll be certain things that come out. We found something that'll help men. Little did they know they was releasing certain carcinogens and certain things by doing this that was breaking into the unknown realm of God's laboratory and would cause all kinds of effects. You think man knew whenever he started using asbestos years ago for insulation and for this, that, and the other? You think that man knew that during all that he would create all this stuff, the mesothelioma, the cancer, and the millions and millions of dollars that's been spent to treat the people, and now the billions of dollars that's been set aside to reward their families? You think God was the one that let them find that out and then take all the asbestos out and destroy it? Come on, children. You think it was God that let them find out how to smoke? You think it was God that led them to the marijuana plant? Who was it that knew that marijuana had the ability to do that? You think the angels smoke it? No. You think Jesus had a joint every now and then when he was on the earth? No. Where's it come from? Satan's wisdom. Then, of course, politicians get it. It was probably half of them sitting up there doped out, too. You want to pass this law? Sure. Yeah, I'll vote for it. What are we voting for anyway? Well, glory. So the phrase Christian civilization come from hell. There is no such a thing. Boy, you got quiet. You went from hallelujah and on the marijuana to nothing. Y'all ain't been jointing, have you? So Christian civilization is an invention of the God of this age. So what will they promote to the social gospel? Man is evil because of the society that he's in. his upbringing. Get rid of the ghettos and you get rid of sin. You get rid of the poor and you get rid of the poverty. And the people are illiterate. That's what it is. They're ignorant. But if we could teach them how to read and write, then we'll teach them how to forge checks. Well, glory. Now what we've done, we have educated. I mean, we've got a bunch of educated crooks now. Where years ago, they just dumb on a doorknob. But I mean, now they are educated. Come on, children. And what has it done? Then the very thing that come off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, I thank God for it. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. This morning about 9 o'clock, our electrician went off in the house and I got as nervous as I couldn't tell you why, because I hadn't printed out my sermon. I wasn't done with it yet. I shaved with a flashlight, so I hope I look okay. Man, I love electricity, don't you? I love it when it works. I like these amplifiers. I like these speakers. I like these guitars. I love people being able to stream the service. Oh. But because it comes off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it has the capability of being bad. So at Brother Tim Pruitt's meeting down there in Texas, people wanted to start hacking. So they hit Brother Tim's website over 70,000 times trying to take the services down. What is it? Satan's knowledge exalted in who? Man. So then man said, ha ha, look what I done. Look what I done. Yeah, look what you done. You're going to answer for a lot at the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. Come on now. So Satan will promote us. And now look, this is what we do. We'll change society. We'll educate everybody. And what we'll do, we'll start having more social activities in the church. We've got to make the church more social. Really? What social activities do you figure they had in the early church? Now, I'm not against folks in the church doing social things together, but what gets me is when folks want to make it a part of the message and make it a part of the gospel, you're going to have a problem with me when you can do that. Show me one church softball team in the apostolic church. You imagine Peter on first base, Andrew's playing second, Paul's third. Come on, children, don't you see what it is? Satan wants to socialize it. And then what does he make the preachers behind the pulpit? A bunch of intellectuals. Then they study psychology. They study how to present and take the shortness off the message. You know, redo the Bible. And man, the Bible, this Bible here is way too hard on homosexuality. And it's way too hard on women. So what did they do? They made them a Queen James version. You didn't know that. Yes, they have a Queen James version. It's only a mirror reflection of the King Jesus version. His bride on the earth is the Word made flesh. So people like us are hate people. We preach against sin. We preach against all this. It's hate material. Right. Before long, they'll ban us. They'll ban us. They'll try to do everything they can do to get rid of us. You know why? Because Satan is socialized. These people are causing problems. They're teaching hate. They're teaching hate. We've got to accept everybody the way they are. It's not right to say that sort of thing. You're trying to change people. I'm just trying to lead them to the changer. Sure, if you're a liar, come to church. There's hope for liars. If you're homosexual, you're gay, you're a drug addict, drinker, whatever more, just come to church. We'll help get you delivered if you want delivered. Yes, sir. I just ain't going to tolerate you coming to church trying to flirt with our boys. Or if you're a lesbian trying to flirt with our girls, we'll put rollers under you quick. Come on now, don't get quiet on me, children. Why? Because I do not believe the gospel mixes with socialization. Well, let's just socialize it. And let's just change it all. Where's the power of God to set people free? There can be no Christian civilization until the Lord Jesus comes upon the earth in the millennium. What an age that we live. Look at this. The word disobedience means obstinate rebellion. Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. I know for you Bible readers, this is a very familiar scripture. This is when Saul has rebelled against the Lord several different times. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You understand that partial obedience is full disobedience. Picking the part of the word that you want to obey, God renders that as disobedience. But see, we look at what we do. Oh, I'll help this person. I've done that. But what about this? Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But that part that you're not sure about tells to God that the rebellion, that obstinate rebellion is still in you. And you're looking at all that you've done. Don't you see? That's what the churches are looking at. Oh, we built a hospital. We've done this. Well, sure, they need hospitals. Ain't got power to heal the sick. I say they should have a Baptist hospital, a Methodist hospital. Time goes on, we'll probably start having message hospitals because the power of God's leaving us too. Unless we're standing for the gospel. If we ever have a building program here, it won't be for a hospital. Happy Valley Memorial Message Hospital. Come on, children. Don't get quiet on me. The church was not called to build hospitals. The church was not called to build all these things. It was called to preach the gospel. And the gospel is not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. So Samuel picks the part of the word that he wants, and he obeys that, and then he offers, tells the prophet Samuel, says, look, we're going to sacrifice this unto God. And I'm telling you what, we're making a church here, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. Now watch Samuel. In verse 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, would any of you ever draw a pentagram on the floor? Would you ever get goat's horns or goat blood and memorize the incantations of witchcraft? No. No, you wouldn't. But when you rebel against the word of God in God's eyes, you're the same as if you was down before on a pentagram and you're calling on the name of the devil. Well, I don't sit that way. Your rebellion speaks for itself. I didn't say this. This is what a prophet of God said. Do you believe what the Bible says? This is the way God... Why does God view rebellion so harsh? Because that's what caused the original sin in the first place. As far as Satan was concerned, Satan rebelled against God. Do you understand, friend, that the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, it mentions it two places. The English translation is that they would not repent of their witchcraft. But if you look up the Greek words, you'll find that it's pharmakia, which is the use of drugs. A prophecy that in the last days that people would be so hooked on drugs. And a lot of them is not illegal street drugs. It's prescription medicines. But they're so addicted they can't get off. Why? The power of God needs to be present in our lives. Sure, if you're in pain and the doctor writes you a prescription for it, or you need this or that or the other, take those things, but don't let the devil hook you on this junk. Don't let the devil hook you on these things. God don't want his children having to have an upper and a downer and an inner and an outer. He wants the peace inside of our hearts to come by the Holy Ghost, not a capsule or a pill. We got drug addicts sitting in our churches. Why? Society. You know, you got to drink your Gatorade a certain way. I'm not sure what that little finger has to do with sticking out that makes me classy. It always made me nervous because I felt like I was trying to get my finger in my mouth instead of the bottle. I just do better if that finger's down here like that. Well, Brother Donnie, you sure ain't got no pulpit manners. My teacher let me miss that class. He said, who's your teacher? The man himself. Because he didn't take that class when he was here, and he didn't figure I needed it. Woo! Notice this, Samuel says to Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which is divination. Divination. And according to Deuteronomy 18:10, was forbidden. Well, even in the days of Saul, he commanded that all the witches be killed. And yet the very thing he was killing, he was doing himself by rebelling. But convince him of that. Now, this is the very man that said, all these witches need to be killed. But he was doing in the eyes of God the same thing by rebelling against the word. You see, what's the difference, friend? It's how God looks at things and how we look at things. This is why we need to be enlightened by his presence. Because humanly, we just look at it wrong. We look at it backwards, don't we? I do. Now, once then, he said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. For when a man then has committed a sin or done wrong, and then he'll constantly persist, oh my, he's obstinate and persisting and vindicating himself and not accepting guilt. This is the stubbornness. This is what Saul did. This is what the prophet is addressing. Because Saul, no, I never done that. No, sir, that's not right. You're looking at that wrong, prophet. I never done that way. The people that done this and I... Excuse. Is there anybody left that when they do wrong can say, I am wrong? Is there anybody left? Instead of blaming your wife or your kids or the pastor or blaming somebody else. You ought to thank God if you can do that. Because you're a dying breed. Even in our ranks. Oh my, can you imagine how Samuel having to deliver this word to Saul. He's already upset anyway. So God looks at rebellion and witchcraft. Both of them are forms of apostasy. So rebel against the headship or the teaching of a prophet of God is apostasy. Then to make excuse for your rebellion against, well, I can't follow that. It was given by a man. Notice now in verse 23 again, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now this is God's judgment on him. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. But now think what I'm going to say. But actually, did that happen right there? No. As a matter of fact, he went on for years being the king. David acknowledged him as being the king. The people acknowledged him as being the king. But as far as God was concerned, he was cut off. Don't you understand the lapse? Don't you understand where we are in Laodicea? Why don't judgment strike people that blast the prophet of God or blast you or do damage to you as a Christian? Why don't the judgment of God hit them? That's not where we are. If the judgment of God would hit them as soon as they blast a prophet on a website, it'd scare people to death. But it's the same thing. After rebellion and obstinate stubbornness, what will happen? They'll go right on. They may even have more followers, this, that, and the other. And God said, I have rejected you from being king. And it would seem as if though he would be finished that day. He was, but he wasn't. So you imagine he went on fighting wars and done all kinds of stuff. God, I guess God forgot about that judgment. He may have changed his mind about me. I'm all right. I'm doing all right. I'm still the king. Now God said, according to what that prophet told me, he told me God had rejected me from being king, but glory to God, I'm still the king. Hey, king, nobody tell me I ain't the king. Hallelujah. I still shout when I go to church. Lord have mercy. Lord Jesus, when the God of this age discovered he could not destroy the church by outer persecution, then he realized he must change his tactics. He must do it by seducing. Seducing them. Come among them. Yeah. Come among them. Let's look, if you would, in Exodus. It's going to go just a few more minutes. Amen. Exodus chapter 10, verse 20. Let's look at this avenue now of gross darkness. I want to get just into it a little bit, but let's try for just a few minutes. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now, Egypt had had nighttime since the very beginning, because it's a cradle of civilization. But now we're moving to an element of darkness that only came after the advent of a prophet of God. Now there's going to be darkness which is going to be deeper, more dense than these people have ever known before. It's going to be a darkness that can actually be felt. Lord, have mercy, children. Now remember, this is right before the Exodus. Do you know what preceded death in the land of Egypt? Gross darkness. Darkness. Now watch what happens. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days, and they saw not one another. Remember, this is the modern people of that day. There was nobody more advanced in science. They built the pyramid. They built the Sphinx. They stood up the obelisk, which weighed thousands and thousands of tons. You know they had some form of light. But the light they had could not permeate this darkness. Why? It come from God. And here they are sitting in their houses, and it is so dark, they can't even see one another. They take their denominational light, they take their manufactured light, and they try to hold it up to one another, but they can't even see if it's a man or a woman. Can't you see where we are? People don't know if they're men or women or boys or girls, or they might be both. They don't know who they are. They don't know who God is. They don't know what right is. They don't know what wrong is. When did it come? After the advent of the prophet of God. Lord Jesus. God have mercy. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Can you imagine? It's so thick, they don't even get up. But on the other side of the pillar of fire, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Oh, praise be to God. You talking about a time of paradox. People don't know what's right and wrong. They don't know what's white, black, gray. They don't know anymore. But the children of God have light in their dwelling. Brother Ronnie, they have light in their preaching. They have light in their churches. They have light in their homes. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, we're on the right side of the pillar of fire. Watch this, Brother Branham and Israel and the church says, I want you to notice the last plague was death. We've had earthquakes. We've had wars and rumors of wars. We've had tidal waves that Jesus said would be. The sea are roaring, men's heart flaying, more heart trouble. Number one, disease, fear, perplex of time, distress between nations, horses, carriages, and the broadways. And all these things fulfilled, but the last plague is death. Not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, death. Spiritually. In the church. So death has been pronounced upon the Laodicean age. But they're like Saul. Glory. Oh, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And tears trickle out of their eyes. And they feel the presence of God. And they go to church and they attend church. Like Saul. Sitting on the throne. Could wrap his hand around the scepter. I'm still King. This crown belongs to me. But the word of God said he was rejected. A rejected king being king. A rejected church still being church. So did Saul just leave? Well, I might as well get out of here. I might as well just go out and be a hermit. He still maintained his position. People still bowed to him. When the judgment was pronounced upon our nation in 1956, did the nation stop? Did the denomination stop when the indictment came in 1963? Did they stop having churches? Of course not. They go right on. And then they think, well, God don't care. Maybe some of the first preachers that started preaching it's okay for women to cut their hair. Oh, no thunderbolts. Nothing happened. So they cut just a little bit off the ends. They go to church. Man, guess who showed up? Oh, that was the Holy Ghost. They had the biggest shouting meeting they'd had in years. He said, man, the Lord don't care for our women cutting her hair. And then they go to blue in their eyes and black in their eyes. And their skirts is getting shorter and shorter and lower, you know. My, it's all going toward the middle, I suppose. It's going higher and higher and lower. So they just kept on. They go, oh, glory to God. I still feel the prayer. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm still the church. Yeah, typical Laodicean. Thou sayest, thou art rich and increased with goods. But knowest thou not, thou art wretched, naked, miserable, blind, naked. And don't know it. Why? The blessing is still there. Brother Bram said the church has got more members than it ever had, thriving better than it ever did, and yet the weakest in spirit that it ever was. That's true. Just like it was in Egypt. But remember, the last plague that fell was death. And the last thing God gave us is warning after warning, warning after warning. Now the last thing that's come is death, spiritual death. The churches are dying spiritually. That's right, friend. Let me close. Death was the last enemy that struck Egypt. And the last enemy that's going to strike the church now is death, spiritually speaking. Listen, Happy Valley. Those who will not follow Christ in the baptism of the Holy Spirit will spiritually dry up and die. It will really make no difference how much more you study your Bible once you reject the Holy Ghost. It don't make no difference how much you pray, how much you listen to tapes or whatever more. You'll go on like Saul. You'll hold your king, your royal robe, your diadem, your scepter. You'll still have the authority to make royal edicts and put the stamp of the king on it. Bless God, I want this to happen and that to happen. Him sitting there thinking, that prophet, boy, he messed up, didn't he? Typical prophets uttering stuff they don't understand in the first place. I should have known better than to listen to him anyhow. No, you should have better known to listen to him. But instead of having a repentant attitude, he goes on, I'm the king. You better watch what you say to me, son. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm getting fed up with you. I'm the... But God had already sent him down a narrow path to a little small house out to find a shepherd boy. Just remember, when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. They look at you and call you holy rollers and backward and call us monkeys and idiots and call us. Let them call me whatever they want to. But when the rapture comes, let them call me gone. Gone. Praise the Lord. If the rapture takes place, don't send me an email because I won't be answering them no more. Don't call my house. You can have it as far as I'm concerned. I won't be there. Don't text me. I don't get texts in heaven. Thank God. So let them call us what they want. But let us keep the attitude of the Lord Jesus. Right? Love and forgive. But he wants us to be. Look, friends. This age that we're living. Let me read this to you. In Exodus 14:19. We'll pick it up again. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these. What determined it depend on which side of the pillar of fire you was on. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Think of it. They were that close to the pillar of fire. They were that close to the pillar of fire, but they're on the wrong side. Don't you see why this message and this prophet has the capability of making people stone blind? They can look right at the same tapes and the same books you search, and they come out with all this utter nonsense, and you're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, oh glory to God. Oh boy, I'd never seen that before. Man alive, all this opposition I'm hearing from different parts of the world, all this opposition, all these folks that are leaving, and you know what it's causing? Message folks and message preachers are studying like never before. Revivals broke out among us. Why? Because they're looking at it more favorably than ever before. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Dear God, what a time to be living. Lord, none of us that are 30, 40 years old, 50 years old, even some of these that are still in their 20s would have never thought they would have saw in their lifetime our nation and our world fall into such sin. And Lord, it's like no matter what politicians and even conservatives and whatever more try to do, it's like a force that they can't hold back. We know this nation must be like Sodom. In order for you to allow her to be annihilated to fulfill that seventh vision, her sin will have to be horrendous. Dear God, help us. Oh, the home of the free, the land of the free and the brave and the true. Oh, what would George Washington say today? Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. What our founding fathers, who used to hold prayer meetings, used to have a church in the rotunda of the White House. And they would leave an empty seat there at the table for you to sit at. But now Satan takes that seat. Invisibly. Oh, none of our senators and congressmen, as far as we know, are actually partakers of witchcraft and divination. But yet every law that they pass is contrary to your word. And their obstinate rebellion is the same as witchcraft and idolatry. Lord, we live in this nation. It's our home. It breaks our heart. What can we do? How Jeremiah must have felt when he was sent by you to proclaim these sad, sad messages. And if people was only sensible and they look in the pattern of you in the Bible, if this message was wrong and Brother Branham was a false prophet, you never used gossipers to expose such a person. You never use backsliders or liars. You use the highest reputable people on the earth. So that disqualifies most of these babblers. You would never use such people to expose heresy and lies. Lord Jesus, how he must have felt that day. And we're told that the book of Lamentation was written about 5 miles outside the city of Jerusalem in a cave. After Babylon has come and carried the people away. And Jeremiah sits there and weeps. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. How did the city which was full but now sit solitary? Lord, we look back at Pentecost. We look back at many of the churches. They used to have a zeal. Even message churches, message people, friends we've had, preachers we've known. How do they sit today? Empty of the power of God. The churches are solitary. Lord, many of the sermons is about the man and how great he is and this and that and other. Instead of the force of the gospel. Please, God, don't never let me go that way. Let me be killed in a car wreck. Let a plane crash and kill me. Let something happen to me, Lord. Don't let me ever bring shame on you. Don't let me bring shame on this message, Lord. Don't ever let me turn to a spot, dear God, that I think it's about me and how big our church is or how big I am or nothing like that, Lord. May we always be little. Little in our own eyes. May these people here, Father, never desire to exalt Satan's knowledge. Help them if they don't get any other thing out of the service than this simple thing today. Satan will try to exalt his wisdom in their heart. His wisdom in their heart. And they will take that above the humble word of God. And when they do it, they have enthroned Satan in their heart. Dear God,
May my heart be only a throne for you, Lord Jesus. There's many things about your word I don't understand. I've read your Bible since I was just a boy. There's still lots of things I can't understand about it. I've listened to this message and said it since 1983. There's lots I don't understand. But may I never allow wisdom to be exalted in my heart, and then I go to thinking I have all the answers. Or because I don't have all the answers, that I turn against it and attack it. Help me, Lord. Help me to stay little, humble, small. That way you can use us, Lord. How many in this place today, is that your desire? Just stay little where God can use you. And remember, friends, this is going to be Satan's great ambition of the day. This present evil age, to exalt himself by wisdom in the hearts of man. And then they will worship him from within their own heart by their education, the wisdom. And they'll take that over the word. You want God to undergird you. How do you want to walk? Circumspectly. Looking, being careful, watching. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I'm not a scientist. Of course not. Satan won't, for most of you, won't use science, chemistry, education. He'll try to use the knowledge of the message. He will try to take the knowledge of the message and exalt the knowledge of the message above the revelation. And then we raise children in our message pews and they know all the cliches. They know the serpent seed. They know this and they don't even ask God for a revelation of it. It's not made known to them. They know it by knowledge. And then they get on a website somewhere, get here or there, and then somebody will go to undermining what they know, that knowledge they know, and then they go all to pieces. And their faith collapses. Why? It's not a revelation. There's many things I take because Brother Bram said so. Absolutely. But Brother Robert, I pray God make it real to me. He don't need to show it to me because he showed it to Brother Branham. I just want it to be real to me so the devil will never be able to take it out of my heart. Amen. Amen. Let's turn and pray for one another, would you? Our young people face onslaughts of hell because parents never even knew anything about. I so love and admire young people here because I know they have such a hard way. But I believe God will have some young women, young men, in this day that'll be true. That'll live right. Dear Jesus, Lord, I look at these young men and these young sisters. Lord, and I feel so sorry for them because I know they have got absolute hell to deal with. But Lord, I realize no matter how many social things we have for our young people, we could take them here on a trip and there on a trip, and we're not against that by no means. Surely nobody could say that honestly. For all the years that I've tried to send them to camps to try to get them helped. But Lord, no matter how many social things we'd have and how many cookouts or whatever more we'd have at the pavilion, that ain't what's going to get them, Lord. It'll have to be that baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll be so anchored in their soul. There ain't enough devils out of hell that'd pull them out of your hand. Lord, not only for just the young people, but for the older people, for all of us, Father God. Lord Jesus, may we leave this place today realizing that our enemy is all around us. Lord, we don't want to walk as fools. We don't want to walk, Lord, trusting in our own flesh, our own knowledge, our own wisdom, but may we walk as circumspect. May we walk as circumspect saints of God, that we walk carefully. We look, we watch, we behave as children of God, that we don't walk as fools. Forgive me, Lord, for every foolish thing I've ever done. Forgive me, Lord, for every foolish thing I've ever done, for any time I've ever brought any type of reproach upon you, Lord. Forgive me for ever wasting 5 minutes of the time that's given to me in the pulpit. Forgive me, Lord God, for wasting time, Lord, of my life. Oh, Jesus, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Help us to redeem what time we have left, Lord. Help these sisters. Oh, they got to make their pies and make their beds and sweep their floors. But, Lord God, may they do it with Jesus on their heart. May they do it, Lord, with a prayer on their heart. These brothers have got to work and do their jobs, even when they're taking a little relaxing time, Father. May they not leave Jesus out of the vacation. May they not leave Jesus at home when they go to Myrtle Beach. May they not leave Jesus at home when they go on a cruise somewhere. Oh, Lamb of God, may you be with us everywhere we go and everything we do, Father. May we redeem our time because it's so short. Oh, Jesus, I pray you'd help me, Lord.
Forgive me for the time that I've wasted, Lord God. Here I am, dear God, next month will be 58. I think, Lord, what in the world have I done? The best years as far as the strength of my life is gone. I'm no longer a young man. I can't preach like I could. I can't keep up like I could. Lord, forgive me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to take the time I've got left, Lord God. May it be quality time, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may I choose my words correctly. Father, may we choose our life and may we walk with circumspect, dear God. Oh, grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. May every man, woman, boy, and girl, may we leave here from this place today realizing you've given us a great gift of time. May we redeem it. May we use it well, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, precious Father. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the King. Brother Donnie, should I stop working? Should I stop? Of course not, children. You know better than that. Keep doing your work. Your sisters keep cleaning your house and taking care of your children and baking pies. And your sisters, you know, doing things like that. You love doing knitting and crocheting or whatever that you do. Should I stop that? Of course not. But just watch your time. Don't spend all your time on Facebook and give Jesus no time. You spend more time on Facebook than you do it in prayer. I wonder who your God is. Come on now. You spend more time on a golf course and you never pray. There's something wrong with your walk. You're not walking circumspectly. You spend more time hunting and fishing and pleasure and leisure than you do in prayer and time with the Lord and listen to tapes. How many of you folks listen to tapes anymore? Shame on you if you don't. Use your time wisely. Redeem what's left, children. Oh, God. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, may after today, may we just have a rededication, a reconsecration. I know we got visitors with us today. Sister Karen Pruitt and some of their families here with us. Some down at Brother Tim's. We're happy to have them, other visitors that are here with us. But let me speak to them, but not only them, but at Happy Valley as well. Let's just have a dedication, a rededication today. A dedication of our time when we come to the house of God. When we come to church. Amen. Brother Louis, let's have a rededication. The way we conduct these services. You people that sing specials, you musicians. Let's redeem our time. When we come to the house of God, when we have church. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. When we get up here, let's see that our focus is about worship and leading people in worship and leading people in the direction of the Lord Jesus. Every one of you preachers who stand behind this pulpit, let's make sure, brothers, that our time, what we're saying, pick your words with value. Words that have value, words that have meaning, not words of flattery or arrogance or pride or whatever more. About us. We're not preaching ourselves, Paul said. Or we're preaching Christ Jesus. Amen. What about it, children? What about you, laity? When you come in, you redeem your time. Lay your washing outside. Lay the things you got to do tomorrow. There'll be plenty of time for that tomorrow. There'll be plenty of time after church to think about where you're going to go eat. Oh, may God help every one of us. When we come in them doors, whether it's them doors or this one right here, no matter which end we come in from, the preacher, the pastor included, that we can focus and redeem our time. We are the last actors on the stage. We are the last ones. I do not believe there is another generation. I do not believe it can go on another generation. All the ages are waiting on us. Paul cannot enter into a resurrection without us coming to our place. Peter is waiting on us. James is waiting on us. This whole thing of the resurrection is hinging on the completion of the bride of Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we take it more seriously? Oh, Jesus. Let's come back to the heart of worship. Let's come back to the heart of worship. And it's about who? Not us. Our time. My ministry. Your ministry. This, that, the other. Forget all that. It's about Him. It's about Him. Let's just sing and worship a little together before we go. Hallelujah. I don't know about you today. I come to church to hear from the Word. Amen. From the person of God. Yes, sir. That may seem strange to you, but sometimes the very God who uses the gift in my life will take that word right back around and point them fingers right back at me. Oh, you say you preach to yourself? The gift does. Because I need moving up just like you do. But you know what? I want to hear it and take it and apply it to my life. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together. I know it's a beautiful day. You probably got plans afterwards. But let me tell you something. What could be greater than standing right now in the presence of Almighty God? Let's just forget about eating. Let's just forget about what you're going to do for a little bit after church. Let's just worship Him. Let's just enter into His presence now. Many people went to church today and they were told the great building plans of doing this, and they were preached psychology of how to be a better man and how to be a better woman and how to be better this, and they was taking down all kinds of notes and all kinds of psychological points, but there was no power released from what was preached to give them energy. But I not only want to bring you quotes and scriptures, but I want to preach under the anointing of this hour, that when I preach, the word that I preach will release an anointing on your life, and it'll help you walk out of here to become that anointed word. Amen. Let's worship together. Let's worship.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come.
Listen, man.
Longing just to breathe something that's of worth.
That's of worth.
That will bless your heart.
Oh, hallelujah.
I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking in to my you deserve.
Amen.
Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours.
That's wrong.
Every single
Lord Jesus. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. See you Wednesday night. Let's sing it as we go.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. All I have is yours, every single breath.